That movie sucked.
I kind of liked it.
Movie Night Crew Network.
Welcome to Fandoms Gone Wrong. I'm Charlie.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are sadly Taylor-less this week, but we will go on anyway and cover The Sea of Monsters, the book. Woo.
Cool.
Woo.
Woo woo.
You read this book so fast. I'm actually surprised.
I've actually read it before, and it's written for children, yeah. So it wasn't hard to read.
Yes, but you also fall asleep while you're reading.
Yes.
Because well, you're an old person.
I could have fallen asleep when I'm reading, and I did a couple of times, not gonna lie. But, you know, it's not that hard to read, and it's like not even 300 pages, is it?
So. No. 200? I don't know. I don't have the book in front of me at the moment. You have my book.
I don't. I told you where to get it.
I gave it to you. It's right next to you.
Oh. Well, let's see. How many pages is the book? It stops being pages at the end here. Let's see.
Yeah, don't count the extra chapter at the end. That's like a sneak preview. I'm
trying to get there. Okay, the last page. 279. So less than 300 pages, like I said.
Yeah, just under. Wow.
Yep. And it's written for kids, so it's easy to read.
Silly Rabbit. Percy Jackson's for kids. No, it's for anybody who likes it.
Of course it's for anybody who likes it, but it was written so that children could read it and understand it. So it's not
Did you read and understand it?
No. Of course I did. I've read it before. I read it before you did the first time.
I feel like I read it first. I think you
read
the first one first.
Series, like, right away.
Okay. I thought you read the first one first, and then I was reading them all first after that.
Nope. You went on to the next series without...
All right. I think she also remembers things wrong, but that could just be me. I don't know.
No, I handed you my books.
Okay. If you say so. If you say so.
I do.
This is a sequel. What was it about, Mother? Give us our little synopsis.
It was all about how Percy was trying to stop the wedding of his best friend Grover to this horrible cyclops named Polyphemus?
Polyphemus.
Polyphemus, sorry. Yeah. Well, Polyphemus, just a different pronunciation of the same spelling. Okay, so he was trying to stop the wedding. But was it really a wedding? We'll have to find out. And while he's doing that, he's on a fake quest because it's not technically his quest to do. He runs into some pirates. He runs into all kinds of crazy monsters in the Sea of Monsters, which is where he has to go to rescue Grover from his wedding.
The Sea of Monsters. Whoa.
Otherwise known as the Bermuda Triangle.
Otherwise known as the name of this book.
Exactly. In the end, of course, he saves the day, but doesn't get any credit for it.
Well, I mean, yeah, he didn't really care at the end of it.
Like I said, it wasn't really his quest to survive or be successful with.
No. The first book was his quest.
But he does find out a few hints about the prophecy that has been looming over his head.
The prophecy. Nee-nee-nee.
And there's a twist.
There's a few twists.
Like, no, at the end, there's a twist about the prophecy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I meant, like, there's the twist about, you know, he gains a cabin mate.
We'll get into that. Let's talk about the story. You want to go line by line? Let's go.
We don't have to go line by line, but, like, you know what I mean. I brought up a chapter list. We're going no notes this time.
Which should be fun.
Yeah.
And I'm in a bad mood today, so there could be lots of swearing. It's possible.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Mother. We're talking about Florida, and you're mad about our flight to Florida currently.
Just so you all know, here's a little backstory. At this moment in time, I'm trying to deal with JetBlue because by the time you read this, hopefully this ridiculous situation will be over. But for the past 3 days, JetBlue has been canceling flight after flight after flight and rescheduling people whenever the hell they fucking feel like it. And not allowing them to cancel the new flights, apparently, since I've been trying for 3 hours on the phone, online, and via chat. Have gotten nobody.
Still on hold downstairs, technically.
I'm on hold downstairs.
At the time of this.
And on the iPad that we're video chatting through right now. So, yeah, I'm a little salty, as Charlie would say.
Yes, right you're now. Salty, just like Percy, because, you know.
He's a seaweed brain.
Exactly.
But we're going to get to Florida because I said, fuck it, JetBlue, and we're going with Delta. So cross your fingers that Delta doesn't cancel tomorrow's flight.
Hey, you know, Delta, that is a Greek letter.
I know.
It's all connected. Everything is connected.
Let's see. The Greek letters, alpha, beta, gamma, delta. I don't know the rest
X-Files theme in the background. It's all connected.
I used to have to know them in order, forward and backward, but I don't know them all in order anymore.
All right, Percy Jackson, let's get through
this. Let's go through it.
I think our last time spent 2 hours.
Let's see if we can do it in less than than 2 hours.
That's the goal. We have a movie.
We got a movie to go to today.
All right. So yeah, we start off this book, and like, I do love Rick's writing in this book, how he's not like, he doesn't have to explain the whole last book. He's just like, yeah, like, I'm Percy Jackson, like, my life's a little weird, yada, yada, yada. He's not like, oh, and this is what happened last time on Percy Jackson. Like,
no.
He just, like, every so often, like, if something needs to be explained, it's explained in, like, a couple sentences. He doesn't have to overly be like, Percy Jackson was a strange little boy.
Why would he have to do that anyway? No, he just goes on and just tells the next story in line, continues his story.
Yep.
Which is fun because as we start off, Percy's having a nightmare.
Dun, dun, dun! Dreams are always important in the Percy Jackson world. And this time he's dreaming about his bestie Grover, who is the one who's shopping for a wedding dress. It's the chapter is called My Best Friend Shops for a Wedding Dress. And like, without reading the book, you'd be like, which best friend is it? Who's it gonna be? It's not Annabeth. It's Grover. And he wasn't actually shopping. He just like dove behind a rack of wedding dresses to hide from a mysterious figure. Dun, dun, dun!
Polyphemus. So you gotta keep saying that every time?
Yeah.
You gotta think about dun, dun, dun today?
It's all, like, mysterious. Like, we don't know what's happening. I mean, we know what's happening because we read the book. But, like...
See, I like dot, dot, dot better, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, that's a Mamma Mia thing. Dot, dot, dot that's about is sex. What they did in the olden days.
Yeah. Okay, this is so anyway, book, somehow Grover ended up running through the streets of a city in Florida. Was it Miami?
No. I don't know if they said where it was in Florida. Later it's Miami, but at the very moment it's just randomly Florida.
Let me see what it says. I don't recall. I thought it did, but I can't remember. I don't think it was.
I feel like it's just not named.
St. Augustine. I'm thinking it might be okay. St. Augustine. Well, because he's at St. Augustine's Bridal Boutique. So it could maybe be St. Augustine in Florida.
Maybe. I don't know.
But anyway, he's running through the streets trying to get away from the giant cyclops that's chasing him, and he ducks behind the bridal dresses in a bridal shop and comes out wearing a dress, I guess?
He doesn't, though. Like, we don't see him in the dress yet. This is just when Percy just wakes up. He's like,
oh, okay.
What's going on? Grover? Is Grover okay?
There's a monster?
Yep. And then he just, the entire day, he feels like he's being watched. But
he wakes up feeling like someone's watching him outside his window.
Yep. Yep. No idea what's going on there. I don't know. Maybe he has a friend who can turn invisible. Probably not.
I don't know. There's monsters in the area, too. Like, his new bestie is a monster.
Yeah. And then his mom tells him, oh, something's happening at camp. You probably can't go this year. Percy's like, what? What's happening at camp? Is it related to Grover? I don't know. We'll find out.
But today I'll take you and your friend Dyson out for, was he taking him out
Tyson.
For candy or something? Tyson. Sorry, Tyson.
You said Dyson, like the vacuum. Cleaner.
But she's taking out Tyson and him for, was it, I don't remember what
skateboards.
The treat was. Skateboards. Okay, they're going to go buy skateboards.
Percy is a skater boy, confirmed. That's my favorite fact about Percy. He's a skater boy. And she said, see you later, boy.
See you later, boy. See you later, skater boy. That's a song.
Yep. Yeah, so Percy goes to school. He's at a new school this time. It's a hippy-dippy school where they wear tie-dye t-shirts.
Yeah. His school is so hippy-dippy that they adopted a homeless kid to be a schoolmate of theirs. They took him in.
Yeah, it's interesting. But Tyson is a sweetheart, and I love him, and I want to protect him. Also, quick
he's
plug.
He's badass.
he's a badass. Quick plug, if you would like merch that says Tyson Protection Squad, you can find that at Of the Eldest Gods on TeePublic. I made merch that says Tyson Protection Squad. Little picture of Tyson, because I love him.
Tyson is awesome. Tyson is a big, not too bright seeming kid right now.
He's
as
like
far
a
as we
giant
know.
Baby, as we find out later.
Later.
Like,
we find out later he truly is a giant baby, but right now he's just like this big, oversized kid who
he's got big
doesn't
muscles.
Seem too bright.
He's like 6 feet tall.
Yeah, and as far as we know, he lives in a refrigerator box somewhere in the neighborhood.
Okay, is this a gone wrong already? Like, why didn't Sally just take him in?
That's a good question, since she knows he's homeless.
She knows he's homeless. Apparently, like, we find out in this chapter that she's, like, called the school, told them, like, hey, you need to find his parents. You need to find his family. Like, we know she can see through the mist. She probably knows he's a Cyclops. Why hasn't she just taken him in or something?
I don't know.
I have questions.
Well, yeah, but Percy doesn't see through the mist very well, so maybe she's just not looking. You know, Percy has to really look to see through the mist with Tyson.
Yeah.
So maybe she's just not looking. She just sees him at face value because she's not expecting him to be a monster.
Well, no, but she can just see through the mist. I think this is a thing that we find out like in later books, but okay. She can just see through it. I don't know. Maybe it's gotten worse because of age.
Yeah.
But she should take Tyson in. It's fine. Yeah, but this day, they're at school and they're playing dodgeball with a bunch of new kids who have weird names like Skull Crusher and Joe Bob.
But we go back a little bit. There's a big bully in school that really hates Percy and really hates Tyson. There's always a big bully. And the big bully has these new guest students, I guess, or transfer students hanging around with him today. And these guys, when they get to the play the dodgeball in gym class, is the gym teacher's ignoring the class because, you know, he's a gym teacher who could care less.
Of course.
The big guys are getting bigger and bigger and meaner looking and meaner looking.
Yep.
And the dodgeballs are no longer dodgeballs. They're flaming cannonballs.
Yep. It's fine. And also Tyson can apparently catch these flaming cannonballs with his bare hands, and he's fine. All the other kids are like running, screaming, and hiding. And Percy's trying to fight, but he also doesn't have pockets in his shorts, and his magical sword, because, you know, demigod stuff,
in his pants.
Is in his pants in his locker.
That will be remedied shortly.
Pockets. Now, okay. Okay, the question shortly, about though. The pocket. If Percy was like, was someone who wore a bra, do you think Percy could use a bra as a pocket?
I would. I do. Not so much now because I don't have the same kind of bras I used to have now that they're a little less full, but... Yeah, I would. I did. I used to keep lots of stuff in there.
I think this is a question I asked the Discord already, like, a while back. But I'm just like, got gender bend Percy as a girl who wears, like, just has the sword pen in his bra.
Let's be clear. With the appropriate size breasts and the appropriate size bra, you can hold a cell phone, a wallet. I put nips all at once in my bra. With my boobs.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's great. You don't need pockets.
That's the solution. That's where you put Riptide. If because, you wear bras, put it in your
because most
bra.
Women's clothes don't have pockets unless you wear like a hoodie
exactly.
or something.
Exactly. I think that's where the conversation started. I was like, damn, if Percy was a girl and had to wear like girls' pants, it would be difficult because there are no pockets.
Oh, they are, but they're too small to put a whole pen in. It'll stick out and fall out.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, off of that tangent, I'm sorry.
It's a funny tangent. I hope you keep this in.
Yeah, so they eventually, like, kill all the cannibals. It's fine. And guess who's there to save them because she was watching them the entire day? It's Annabeth with her invisibility cap.
Yeah. But see, Percy is able to rescue his pen because when all this is going on, the gym explodes.
Yeah.
And when the gym explodes with all the cannonballs flying around, his clothes end up flying into the gym.
And guess who is blamed for this blowing up gym? It's Percy, of course.
Of course, it's always Percy. All the kids look at him and say, Percy did this. Percy didn't do this. But it's okay, because the monsters disappear, of course, when they're hit with the flaming cannonballs.
And the evil kid at school who did not know that all of his new besties were cannibals, blamed Percy's just like, it was his fault! No, it wasn't. He didn't do anything.
He was mad that all his new friends disappeared.
Yeah, so Percy and Annabeth escape, and Annabeth's like, we gotta bring Tyson, that other guy, the big guy with us.
We should bring him with us. She doesn't like Tyson.
Nope. We don't know why yet. But
she does not like Tyson. And Tyson's just a baby. He's so sweet.
He's beautiful. He's perfect. I love him. I want to hug him. I would probably get crushed by a hug from him, though.
No, I think he would know how to be gentle.
I mean, I think he would eventually learn. But I think at this point, Sea of Monsters Tyson would probably hug you, crush you, and be like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just going to, like, pat you on the back kindly. So the three of them escape, and Annabeth hails a taxi. I was about to say tag. Hails a taxi of Eternal Torment. That's a chapter title. But it's a weird taxi. It's run by three sisters. They're all driving, I guess.
And they're all blind.
Yep. Only one eye.
That they share.
It's kind of creepy. It's kind of gross. And the three of them have to buckle up in the back seat and the entire time Tyson wants to puke. It's great. So it's a magic cab. These three are kind of like omniscient, or not omniscient, but like they can see the future and shit. So
soothsayers.
Yep. They're like, you know, besties with, the Fates or the Oracle, mm-hmm. and such. And they're leading them to Camp Half-Blood, but they're also being like, oh, Percy, you're gonna need to know, like, some information soon. And Percy's like, what's the information I need to know?
And they give him a number.
Yep. After he steals their eye. He has to, like, grab their eye.
Oh, he steals the eye first. That's right. That's right. He wants to know the information. They won't tell him. And as they're getting close to Camp Half-Blood, he steals the one eye. They drop it or something, and he grabs it, and he won't give it back to them?
It's because they were fighting over it, like, the driver should have the eye. No, I want it. No, you got to have it last time.
But they weren't just fighting over the eye. They were also fighting over the tooth. They only have one tooth among them as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So gross.
It's gross. Don't like it.
So bad.
Yeah, they're disgusting. And Percy held their eye. That's also gross. But they told him some random numbers. Maybe that'll be important later. But they have no idea what's going on. And then they get to Camp Half-Blood. And what's going on? The camp is being attacked.
It's being attacked, like, by these giant bulls, right?
Yes. Giant bronze mechanical bulls.
They shoot fire.
Yes. They shoot fire. And Clarice, daughter of Ares, is, like, leading the camp to fight them. She's doing okay on her own, but, like, it's not going great because why are these monsters in camp? Like, they have magical borders. What's going on? Percy's all concerned. But Tyson fights the bulls. And once again, he's apparently immune to fire.
Which
I wonder
awesome.
If that's important.
Hey, of course, Clarice is a little put out by the fact that Tyson saves the day.
Yeah.
Very, very put out. How dare you get in the way I was winning?
Well, they were two bulls. I think she beat one of them and Tyson beat the other. It's not like she didn't help.
But would she have... Now, my question is this. Would she have been able to do that if Tyson hadn't been fighting the other bull?
Probably not.
No, because they would have been two bulls against her and there's no way she would have been able to survive.
Yeah. And the rest of the campers were running screaming because they were half on fire.
Based on what happens later in the book, I argue that Percy might have been able to slay them both.
Yeah.
Because of what we find out later when he has his little fight with the other one.
Yeah.
When he goes berserk.
It's fine. It's all good.
It's cool. Anyway, Tyson helps save the day and pisses off Clarice because Clarice hates them all anyway, so it's easy enough to piss her off. And then they're all upset because Tyson's in the camp and how dare we let a Cyclops into the camp.
Yep. Oh, wait, Annabeth had to invite him in. It was weird that, like, the bulls were able to just get through, but Tyson had to be invited in. Is it because he's human or a monster or what? Percy still thinks he's just a regular mortal. Percy has no idea.
He thinks he's just some random, oversized, slightly not so smart, homeless kid that is his best friend. Or his second best friend or whatever.
Third. There's
New
Grover, there's Annabeth, and there's Tyson.
Yep, certainly not Clarice. So anyway, they all get back. They go in and they find out what's going on. That basically camp's gone to shit.
So Chiron has been fired because they're like, oh yeah, we had to blame the fact that the magical borders are failing on someone. So we blamed it on our good buddy Chiron, the leader of the activities, technically. Not the camp director. Because we couldn't blame the god who was there.
We have to be in the half god. Not even. He's a half titan.
Yeah.
We find out later he's half titan. He's not really a god.
Close enough. He's a centaur man.
He's not fully immortal either. So, as we find out.
Yeah. So, that Chiron has to leave. Also, it's less important. Argus is also no longer at camp. I'm sad about that too. He was the guy with like a bajillion eyes all over his body. He's like head of security.
Well, maybe if we had a head of security, things wouldn't be so bad.
Exactly. Why did you fire him? Rude. And now we have to replace them. Tantalus.
Tantalus, who hates people.
Especially children.
Yeah. He very much hates people and children and the gods for punishing him.
A little bit of backstory on that. It's because he literally killed his son and tried to feed him to the gods. And for that, he was punished to forever... never be able to eat or drink food.
Well, he was mad at the gods, and that's why he did that, right? And his kids were annoying, so he said, oh, I'll just kill two birds with one stone.
I mean, that's what he said. If you weren't talking about the myths, he just did it because he wanted to. But, yeah, he's trying to justify it, like, oh, my kids were annoying, so I killed them, and I tried to eat them and feed them to the gods. But, in other words, he sucks. He's creepy.
And he hates kids.
And he hates kids. And now he's running a camp full of children. I don't trust this man.
I never trusted him. Nope.
He also still can't eat anything, which is kind of
hysterical.
Funny.
Every time he tries to grab a food, it like runs away.
I love it. I think Mr. D brought him so he could have a laugh.
Well, yeah, because Mr. D is all about enjoying life, right? Except he's stuck at camp at 2 and he hates being at camp too.
He's just like, hey, you know, this guy is also being tortured, but like, it's funny to watch him be tortured. So I'm going to enjoy this. It's great. I don't know what else happens in that chapter other than just like, yeah, what are we going to do with Tyson? Blah, blah, blah. And then Tyson, we find out who his dad is.
Yeah, he's claimed.
Yep. Glowing trident on his, over his head. And
it's awesome it's awesome that he's claimed, but we all know all along, because all we keep hearing at this point and beyond is that Cyclops is made by one particular god when he has sex with nymphs, right?
We don't know who that god is, but it's like,
but it's
wink,
only
wink,
one
nudge,
particular
nudge.
God. Hello, nudge, nudge. Everybody knows who, but no one's telling Percy.
Yeah, and like this Cyclops boy is like very attached to Percy. I wonder why.
But he didn't even seem to know that Percy was his brother either. All of a sudden, they're both he's all excited. Tyson's all excited that he's Percy's brother. And Percy's like, oh, shit, everybody's going to make fun of me even more than they already do.
We do find out later in the book that, like, Tyson had prayed to Poseidon for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Just somebody to look out for him so he could, you know, have a pal. And Tyson's prayers were answered in the form of Percy, who was just like, yeah, of course, I'm going to, like, care for him and love him because Percy is a good guy. I'm going to cry. But I love Percy. He's a good guy.
He cares about people, and you know, he doesn't have many friends, so anybody who's interested in being his friend, he's willing to give it a go.
Yeah.
Now, Luke was his friend for 5 minutes, you know.
I like to call them like the Huffle brothers because they're both Hufflepuffs. They're both just like, just good, loyal, nice, friendly boys. I love them. I love them so much. They're at camp now. People are being rude to both Percy and Tyson. Percy's also kind of being a jerk now because he's like, he's only my half-brother. He's not really my brother. He's a monster.
Well, because they're making fun of him and nobody likes to be made fun of. But yeah, he's one group of people who there's one group of people who take in Tyson.
Well,
Hephaestus's
not one group
kids.
Of people.
Well,
it's
Hephaestus's
just,
kids.
Yeah, it's mostly Beckendorf, son of Hephaestus, who's just like this big hulking dude who's just like, yeah, you're Cyclopses are good in the forges, and, like, that's why you're immune to fire, so come over and hang out with us.
Yeah.
I don't know if the rest of them are all cool with it, but Beckendorf is, like, really cool with
it. Well, they don't name the others, really. They only really name Beckendorf that I can recall.
Yeah, because he's the cool one.
Well, he's probably the leader of the...
Yeah, he's
the cabin. So he takes him in and starts showing Tyson how to work the forges.
Yeah, and it's great, because Tyson can do shit, and now he can build things, and that's important for, like, the rest of this, because... What does Tantalus do? He introduces the chariot races back to Camp Half-Blood, even though they used to kill campers.
It ended in death.
A lot of death. But, hey, we're gonna do them again. It's fine. Annabeth and Percy are like, yeah, let's team up. But they immediately get into a fight. Because of Tyson. Because Annabeth apparently hates Cyclopses.
And wants nothing to do with Tyson.
Yup. It's not great. Annabeth kind of sucks for half of this book. Of this book.
So Poseidon has his own chariot, you know? That cabin has their own chariot.
Yep, the brothers work together. Tyson builds it, and Percy's like, I'll drive it because I'm good with horses. Horses are kind of afraid of Tyson, but Percy's good with them because he can speak horse.
Well, you know, Cyclopses have a habit of, I don't know, eating horses, among other creatures.
They have a habit of just eating
everyone.
Living creatures.
Pretty much, they want meat, and they eat meat. Any meat will do, pretty much.
They might also be considered cannibals.
Well, I don't know. We've never seen them talk about eating other Cyclopses. So.
Yeah, I know. Well, technically, the cannibals that we met earlier weren't cannibals. They were just giants.
Were they?
Yeah, they were. They're called cannibals in the book. Yeah. They're called Laestrygonians. They're just, like, giants who like to eat humans. I don't know why they're called cannibals. This is a whole discussion that Taylor and I had on Of the Eldest Gods.
Yeah. So the whole idea of cannibals is cannibals, I thought, eat your own kind.
Yeah, no. So they weren't cannibals after all. Plot twist.
They're just meat eaters. They like people. Yep. People taste good to
them.
They
like people. People taste good.
They're people people.
All right. Continuing on.
Continuing on from there. The chariot races happen, and it goes not so well for our heroes.
No, because there are evil birds. Demon pigeons, in fact, is demon what they pigeons. Call them.
And of course, they're causing all amount of ruckus, and there's Tantalus saying, ah, no big deal. They're just pretty little birds in the sky. No big deal.
So most people continue with the chariot race, but Percy and Annabeth are like, there's a Greek myth about this. How did they solve it? It was Heracles. He beat them with music, evil music. So they play some of Chiron's music.
Which isn't really evil, but it's annoying.
It's annoying music to get rid of the birds. But, you know, the chariot race was still continuing on for some of the campers, and Clarius won. So,
and of course, Mr. Tantalus there gets all pissed at them because, you know, they irritated the birds.
He was like, you ruined the chariot race, but Clarius is like the hero of camp now because she solved everything. And when Percy and Annabeth later on are like, hey, we need to introduce a quest because all these monsters keep getting into camp. We need to search for the Golden Fleece. So Tantalus is like, well, Clarice is the hero of camp, so she's gonna do it, not you, because you fucked everything up, so.
Which is awesome, because Clarice has been waiting for her fucking shot forever.
Yep.
She's been dying for a quest. She is one of the toughest women on campus, one of the toughest people on campus, and she's been dying and dying and dying to go. So, yeah.
Yep.
And she's a total bitch. We hate her.
I mean, she gets better in this book. She has a little bit of an arc going on in this book, but
for like 5 seconds.
At this moment, she sucks. She kind of feels bad. But she's like, I'll go. Yep. You know, it's all about me. I'm going to be great. It's going to be cool.
So here's my question. You know the backstory of some of these things. What's the backstory? Does Tantalus have any backstory with Arius?
No.
Or is it just because she's like the one in camp who's the most antagonistic towards everyone that he's like all about?
It's because he knows that it'll annoy Percy and Annabeth. I think that's why. He just wants to be annoying. There's no relation between him and Ares.
Okay.
I think Tantalus is a son of Zeus. So, yeah. Okay. Oh, well. So Clarice goes on her quest, and then Percy's, like, all bummed. He sneaks out one night. Ooh. Just chilling on the beach, like, what the heck do I do? I have to go out because, I think he had a dream about Grover saying, hey, you need to help me out. I'm in a Cyclops cave. That when we find out the fleece is also where Grover is? Or?
I thought we found the fleece before that. Or maybe not. Yeah, no, because she's sent to go get the fleece.
Yeah. I just know that Percy has a dream, like, before he actually leaves for the quest.
So maybe she had the dream before he told them that they needed to do the quest. And they said, yeah. Oh, we'll give it to Clarice. Because the last night they're there, he leaves his cabin and goes out to the lake because he just needs to clear his head, period.
Well, he goes out to the, like, the beach. Like,
yeah, the beach.
The ocean.
Well, because they're on Long Island. So he goes to the ocean. He wants to clear his mind a little bit.
I thought he had, like, a nightmare or something about Grover before that. But regardless, he was motivated. Like, I gotta figure out how to go on this quest, but I don't know how to leave camp at the moment. And he's visited by Hermes. Good buddy Hermes, who's
dressed up like a jogger on the beach.
Yeah, he's just like random jogger, has a Coke with Percy, and he's the father of other antagonist, Luke, who's actually evil. Clarice is not evil, but Luke is evil.
See, Hermes is awesome because he's like the catalyst. He gives him what he needs to go further on the quest. He's like helpful in that regard.
I also just like love Hermes. He's just like he's the millennial god, you know? He's the god who has like a million jobs, but they're all like side gigs. He does like a million things.
Well, what I like about him is they brought, you know, when they decided to come to the Western world to bring their, you know, their castle, their whatever, their
the
realm
castle.
To the Western. Well, their realm. Yeah. They brought Mount Olympus and all the realm to the West instead of staying in Europe. He fully embraced the Western culture. He fully embraced it. He invented the internet. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, he's not for nothing. I know there's other people who said that they invented the internet. He actually supposedly invented the internet, right? Isn't that what they say?
I mean, I believe it. It's because the internet is a way of communication, and he's literally the god of, like, communication. So I fully believe that he would have invented the internet.
So he fully embraces the Western culture, which is awesome.
So what does Hermes do? He gives Percy a bunch of gifts, and he gives him, like, magic duffel bags with, like, money and such, some magic vitamins, the winds. He also gives him a thermos full of winds.
The magic vitamins are cool because they say on them, will help you feel like yourself again or something.
Yeah, I forgot
to help
about
you feel
that.
Like yourself again.
And then he points out, hey, that ship over there, that, what is it? A cruise ship. My son is on that. Can you go help him? And then he leaves. And he's like, you can find your way there because you're a son of Poseidon. You'll know what to do. Mm-hmm. And then
and your friends are on the way, so.
Yeah. Annabeth and Tyson just show up. Like, they're like, yeah, we're going to go on the quest, obviously. Right? Let's go. Mm-hmm. So Percy calls to his dad and is like, hey, can you help me out here? And they ride some fish ponies.
I love it. Seahorses.
Literally, hippocampus, it means seahorse.
Yeah. They're just giant seahorses. They get to ride
those
out.
It's also a part of your brain, I think, but...
Yeah. And they get to the cruise ship and it's the Princess Andromeda?
Yes.
Yes. And what I love about this, and I'm just going to mention it one quick time because we have seen the movie, which is arguably not the best movie ever, but...
Nope.
I like it for what it is if you don't read the books.
I don't like the second movie.
I didn't think it was great, but it was okay. But it doesn't follow the book at all, except that they do go onto a boat. But in the movie, they used a yacht. I really like the fact they use a cruise ship because it's way sicker.
Yeah.
Using the cruise ship is so sick. What they do on the cruise ship is just so sick. Okay. So they use a cruise ship. So they're going to go onto the cruise ship Princess Andromeda.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so they sneak onto it via the fish ponies. And they, you know, they spend a night in this little... empty cabin, but also this boat is fucking creepy. They have, like, zombified mortals. We are having a good time.
Well, they've been possessed by some kind of, spell or something, I'm sure.
Yeah. And then when they get up the next morning, like, they hear stuff about Luke and they start to follow it, try to figure out where he is. And apparently he's had this whole plan about, like, what's going on at camp. Like, will they take the bait? What's going on?
Well, also, Luke has been driving this cruise ship around, picking up monsters everywhere he goes, trying to get as many monsters as he can on the ship. Apparently, the more monsters that are on his side, the stronger it makes his guest, who's in a sarcophagus or a coffin on the ship.
Yeah, it's a sarcophagus. Okay. Okay, this is supposed to be Greek shit. Sarcophagi were not...
Egyptian.
they were Egyptian. They were not Greek.
He's in some kind of coffin type case. Yeah. But it's not all. It's just pieces.
Yeah, it's weird. They're like...
Of the big
bad. We're calling with every person who gets on our side. We call another piece forward from the pit. It's creepy.
It's kind of gross and kind of nasty. Yeah, but it's cool because it's gross and nasty. Meanwhile, they're pretending this is a real cruise ship, so the people are walking around. What do you think the people are? Oh, they're dinner people.
Yeah.
All these people walking around thinking they're having a good cruise, they're dinner. It's a ship full of monsters. What do you think these people are going to get? They're going to get
next time you go on a cruise, mother, maybe be careful not to go on one like this.
With monsters? Yeah, I can't see through the mist, so I'll have no idea. But I've not seen a monster on a cruise ship that I know of yet.
Yet. So, like, Luke finds them on the ship, threatens them. I don't remember all of this part, but...
He threatens them, he tries to attack them, Tyson fights back against his bad guys, and...
They escape, I remember that. I don't remember what else is happening in this.
They manage to escape, they get, is there another boat? They use a boat, right? Don't they?
I think, yeah, maybe they get on an escape raft or something. But they do end up getting off the boat and getting onto the shore. Because
what? Are you still
isn't
alive?
That when they get the,
That's when they go to the camp out
the
place.
The Monster Donuts?
They get to shore and they... Annabeth, sorry. Takes them to some kind of, like... I don't know if it is it an actual, like, cabin or something? Or just a whole... in a cave or something. It didn't
honestly, it's so nondescript. It's just like a little cave or something that she used to like live in with Luke and Thalia when they were kids running from monsters. So.
It was set up as a hideout. So we're not sure exactly what it looked like. I guess you can imagine what you want. It could be like a little cabin in the woods.
Could be a cave. Who knows?
Could be a hole in the ground for all we know. But they kept all the stuff that they had from back then. That's one of the places that they hid out when they were running from monsters. And Percy's like, oh, gee, I wish I could have a donut or something like that. They're looking for food or whatever.
Yeah, he tells his brother. I don't think it's that he wants a donut. I think he's
trying to get
Tyson
out.
He really just wanted to get Tyson to go out so he could have a conversation with Annabeth.
With Annabeth, yeah. So he tells Tyson to go out and check the perimeter and make sure they're safe. And, you know, if he finds any food, you know, because he might want a donut or something. And Tyson comes back like a few minutes later with a box of monster donuts.
Yeah. I don't think
the
monster donut thing.
Which is weird, because they're in the middle of the jungle
or the woods. The monster donut thing, it doesn't need to be a plot line. Like, it's funny. I think it's interesting. I don't think it really matters.
It's like a chapter that we don't need here right now at all. They could have just come to the land and then decided to go somewhere else.
It's interesting world building, though, because, like, it's making fun of the whole chain restaurant thing when we find out that monster donuts or chain restaurants in general are usually attached to hydras, which are monsters that, when you cut off the head, two more grow back. So I guess that means that when they're fighting the monster, the hydra that shows up, and Percy cuts off its head, another monster donut just appears randomly somewhere in the wild.
I mean, I guess it makes sense. I mean, the whole idea is that they propagate quickly. They propagate everywhere so that they can capture and eat humans, basically. Yeah. And
it's
Percy,
funny.
Of course, with his sword, that's the only problem with being a sword fighter. The first reaction is, oh, I'll cut someone's head off, right? Especially a monster.
You don't
cut the monster's head
off. The head.
No.
Like, you could go for something else. I don't
know. Feel stabby in the chest. I don't know.
What happens if you just cut off its nose?
Legs.
Like,
cut
legs,
off its legs.
Heart? Stab it in the heart.
That's what I'm saying. Be all stabby. Just stab it in the heart.
Just
blind
stabby,
it.
Stabby.
What are you going to do?
Also, Hail Hydra.
You, I don't like right now.
Listen, I have to make the joke every time hydras are mentioned. I just think it's funny.
Well, are you saying you're Hydra? Because I am totally not.
I am not Hydra. No. It's like that one time when Captain America said Hail Hydra, except he was like, you know...
Undercover.
Yeah, so...
Ish.
It's fine. All right, so they eventually get saved because, of course, Percy was not going to be able to defeat this Hydra. Isn't it cannonballs?
Huh?
Because aren't they saved by, like, cannonballs? Because Clarice shows up on her ship, you are looking like you have no idea what's happening.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I think she does fire a cannonball at them as they're running away. She fires a cannonball at the
Hydra.
And
then she kills the Hydra. So this is when we get on her interesting ship with her interesting
It's not really a pirate ship, like
partners.
I said, but it's
not
a...
No, we'll find the pirate ship later.
This ship is... It's a Civil War ship manned by dead Civil War soldiers.
Confederates.
And I guess we find out that if you die in battle,
you lose.
If you die and lose in battle at the same time, you owe a fealty, if you will, to Ares.
Because he's the god of war. So if you lose a war... You owe shit to him.
Yep. So they owe their life, so they're going to man the ship for her as she goes
on
her quest.
So I guess the moral of that story is don't go to war.
Or
but also
lose.
Just don't lose a war.
Have a bigger stick, people. Have a bigger stick.
Be the bigger fish.
Be aggressive. Be aggressive.
Oh my god. Yeah, so they are now on a new boat because they still have to, like, go into the ocean. This is a lot of boats. It's the Sea of Monsters. And... They're going through the sea. I'm trying to remember what the heck happens in this chapter.
They're traveling down very fast, and I'm trying to remember. They get to the entrance of the Sea of Monsters.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they can't get through easily because there's two, monsters.
Yeah. So we have the only way to get into the Sea of Monsters is by going past these two sisters. Women? They're monster ladies. One of them is just a whirlpool of teeth, literally.
And the other one has snake for hair? Or was it some kind of bug? I mean, something is snake or fingers.
She's
or something.
She's like, she's a random monster lady. You really don't want to see what she even looks like because she'll just
eat
you.
She sends snake-like tendrils out to attack you. That's all we know for sure because we don't actually
see
her.
Yeah, she's like up in a cave and then the other one is like in the water. So you have to go through them and that's the only way to get into
the sea of monsters. So in the attempt to do this, Clarice is pushing the ship as hard as she can and the ship is about ready to blow up. So Tyson goes down to try to keep the ship running and get it running as fast and efficiently to get through there as quickly as possible.
Yeah, because all the zombies, ghouls, whatever you want to call them, are like blowing up in the heat, and Tyson can survive the heat. So he goes down there and he can fix shit. Percy doesn't want him to go, but
he goes.
Best they can do.
And Percy as he tries to save them,
Percy also gets picked up by Scylla.
But he escapes.
I mean, he does just barely by, like, using his sword to thrash about, but everything blows up underneath him because, of course,
the ship blows up. So the ship blows up. We get some lifeboats.
And then the next time Percy wakes up, he's on a lifeboat with Annabeth. And they have no idea if anyone else survived.
So off they go. They're just now trying to figure out their way to
So they're sad and
the
angsty.
Island.
Well, Percy is. Annabeth is like,
we gotta
I'm
get
racist
going.
To get Cyclops.
She's just trying to get going. And so they get going. And
where they land on an island. And it's a resort. They immediately get picked up to this resort. And Annabeth is like off to be beautified because they love women on this island.
This island is run by Circe, otherwise known as Circe.
Yes. Oh, so like I think in Greek it's actually you're supposed to pronounce like all the C's like K's. So I think it's technically Circe is how I've heard people pronounce it, but like you gotta say Circe for the joke. Circe, Circe.
See, I've heard of Circe in other shows, in like TV shows and movies and things before.
Yeah,
so.
I've heard people who try to pronounce it more Greek-like, and it's like Circe.
Okay.
But I usually just say Circe. Anyway.
Whatever you call it, whether you call her Circe or Circe, whatever, she is running this resort island where she takes all the women off to be beautified, and then she shows the guys what kind of crappy rodent-like animals they truly are.
Yep. She's like, all men are pigs. Now guinea pigs. She of course tries to be like, oh, Percy, I'll try to show you the inner you. And like, there's a magic mirror that's like, shows Percy a nice version of himself. But then she gives him a magic smoothie and he becomes a guinea pig.
Yep. And she tells him if he's a good guinea pig that she will sell him to a school so he can become a pet in a kindergarten. Isn't that nice of her?
That's cute. But like that's not
Yuck.
Really great.
And meanwhile she sticks him in a cage with a bunch of pissed off guinea pigs who've been guinea pigs
who've
now for hundreds
for
of years.
Maybe 300 years or so at least.
Yeah, 300 years or so.
But Annabeth comes in and is like, where's Percy? What's going on? So she's like, I'm going to make you a sorceress. That's what's happening. Who cares about Percy? Women, women, women. And Annabeth's
you'd
like
this island.
I mean, how about this? I don't know what they do to non-binary folks on this island, but as long as I'm not a guinea pig.
But there's
I will
a lot
like
of women
this
on this island. Yeah.
There's a lot of women on this island. So I'm cool with that. But Annabeth's like, what can I do? I have to get him out of there. So she finds the vitamins and throws them to all the guinea pigs because she can't tell which one's Percy. He can't speak English now.
He can only speak guinea pig, which means he basically squeals.
Yeah. Another important thing about this, like when he transformed into a guinea pig, his clothes fell to the floor.
And when he transforms back, his clothes are magically on him.
Yep.
We don't have a naked Percy. That would be hysterical if they all transformed back and they were all naked. But it doesn't happen.
This is how you do middle grade. You're just like, yeah, we're gonna do that for the drama, and then nobody is naked because you're children. So just have him shrink with his clothes. It would have been so cute if Percy had been in his like little cute little jeans and his t-shirt as a guinea pig.
And the best part about this pill though is once you take this pill for a couple of hours, they said you're not affected by magic. So he
so
can't.
Annabeth also takes one, so Circe can't like spell her.
So when all the guinea pigs turn back to human, it turns out to be Blackbeard and his pirates.
Yes.
And they all go after all the women because they're so pissed at the way they've been treated for the last 300 years.
I mean, they're valid, but also, like, yikes. I don't imagine this being great for all those other women who are on the island. Maybe version. Not all of them knew what was going on.
This is an interesting version of Pirates of the Caribbean, I'm just saying. The pirates all become guinea pigs.
Where is the spinoff that's just about, like, these women?
And
the island fighting the pirates.
So anyway, at this point, the pirates are running around chasing the women. Percy and Annabeth head to the dock to find a boat. And what boat do they take? The oldest boat, because it looks like something Percy can handle with his demigod powers of the ocean.
Oh yeah, did we find out already that Percy has perfect bearings on the ocean? I think we did at some point.
And his brother also has those same skills.
Does he?
Yeah, because he finds out his brother's like, oh, it's this and it's this and it's this other thing. So he knew all this stuff about boats and things. But Percy's really knowledgeable all of a sudden about crappy old boats. So he takes the pirate ship.
Okay. I don't want to be a son of Poseidon, like, for most of reasons. I'm not great with, like, water and, like, the ocean. But I do love this power where Percy can just be like, mizzen mast! And then the boat just obeys his every command and just sails by itself. I like that. I want to have that power where I can just be like, autopilot, and then any vehicle I am in just goes where I want it to go.
It didn't just
That's
go, though.
Great.
What I loved about it was when he said mizzenmast, all of the sails pulled out.
Yeah,
everything. I mean, it didn't just like start going. It like literally put itself back together because it had been sitting there for 300 years doing nothing. All of a sudden, the ship comes back together. And then it starts taking off and they're getting out away as fast as they can from the pirates who are now on the shore screaming at them for stealing Blackbeard's pirate ship. I love it.
I know
it's so good.
Are Percy Jackson pirate AUs, but I'm just like, God.
He's a pirate. He stole a pirate ship from pirates.
He's a
pirate. In the Caribbean, no less. It's awesome.
Percy Jackson is both a pirate and a skater boy. Fight me.
So off they go to find the next terrible foe, who happens to be a siren.
I mean, not a siren. It's a whole island of sirens. But Annabeth's like, okay, if somebody hears the siren song, they will, like, learn something important about themselves. Like,
but they have to survive it.
They have to survive it. You have to tie me up and cover your own ears so you can get past it.
Here's an interesting thing, though. We know she's going to get out at some point. Why didn't she just make sure she couldn't? She had him tie her up.
I don't know. Percy just should have, like, made sure the ropes were, like, a lot tighter than they were.
Yeah, I think he should have disarmed
her. Also, he should have disarmed her. He apparently was like, oh, I'm just not going to take away her knife. Percy, you idiot. But it's fine. Percy just has the things in his ears the entire time. And Annabeth starts trying to swim towards the sirens. And then he drags her underwater, nearly drowning her. But it's fine because she can't hear the sirens now. So they swim in a bubble, in a magical, like, air bubble for a bit.
Until you can get them back on the ship.
Yeah. And that's how they get away from the sirens. It's great. But Annabeth got a little vision about what she wants and what her fatal flaw is. Her fatal flaw is hubris. She thinks she could make a perfect world. And when she explains this to Percy, Percy's like, yeah, I don't think I could do that. I'm not hubristic at all.
No. And she gets this idea. Originally, Luke was the one talking about making the world perfect or whatever, remaking the world. And she says, I can remake the world and I can remake it perfect. And one thing I think that is it here that Percy sees what she's remaking the world as?
Yeah, so when he touches her, he can see.
And that I think that kind of makes him a little sad. Not because she wants her mother and her father there, but because she still wants Luke in the perfect world. And, you know, there might be some romantical vibes starting between these two. And this, you know,
there's
jealousy.
There's a weird love triangle-ish thing going on, but also it's creepy. Luke should not ever return those things because he is, like, 20 years old and she is 13. So he should not return those feelings.
And she should stop feeling something like that for the bad guy.
Yes.
Yes.
But Percy and Annabeth are cute because they're like besties to lovers. Rivals to besties to lovers. But still, it's great. I love it. And then we finally get to Polyphemus's island, and we meet the Sheep of Doom.
Oh my god. Yeah, they're riding up to the island like, how are we going to get to the fleece? It looks like it's up there, and it's surrounded by these giant sheep, but that shouldn't be too bad.
We'll just walk over there.
Yeah, we've heard there's a monster, but it doesn't look like there's a monster, and then all of a sudden, out comes a deer, and these sheep attack it and literally eat it the flesh from its bones within seconds.
I think it's like, I think we find out that like half the island is like man-eating sheep and half of it isn't or something. But
and the man-eating sheep are giant.
Yeah. The man-eating sheep are obviously on the part of the island where the fleece is because they have to protect it.
Yep.
So what does Percy do? He hops on one of the non-man-eating sheep, I think, and just like rides underneath it to get into Polyphemus's cave.
Well, that's kind of a little later, but okay.
Yeah. Well,
they get to the island. They climb up to the other side of the island, find Clarice being strung up over a pot to cook for dinner.
Yeah.
Or a fire
and
to cook for dinner.
Then there's the whole plot twist of like Clarice, who never shuts her mouth. I'm sorry, Clarice. She's great, but if she would shut her mouth, then everything would be fine.
Of course not.
But she doesn't. So she's like, Grover, that guy, that's not a Lady Cyclops that you're about to marry. That is a satyr, a half-goat man. Polyphemus is like, shit. I'm gonna marry you instead, and I'm gonna eat him. Because he's like, I'm all prepared to get married. He's in a cute little tuxedo. Like,
yeah, so he was gonna cook her for their dinner to celebrate their wedding. It was gonna be their wedding feast. This whole time, so Grover's been hiding in a wedding gown, trying to make her his train for days and days and days, just trying to kill time before Polyphemus realizes that, he's actually a satyr and not a Lady Cyclops.
Yeah, but now we've swapped it, and Polyphemus puts the both of them in the cave, seals it up, and then goes to find some other meat, I guess. But yeah, that's when Percy, like I said, hides underneath the sheep, and Polyphemus lets him into the cave because he's like, oh, this is just a really fat sheep. It's fine. I can't see very well anyway. Because his eye was already literally stabbed by Odysseus, like, thousands of years ago. How he can see it all surprises me.
Well, he lives on the island with the fleece, so it's probably somewhat healed, but he's so old and it's so badly damaged that they keep talking about his cataracts and whatnot, so.
Honestly, that would be an interesting take, is like, what if he just, like, touched the fleece and that's why he can see at least a little bit?
Yeah, but he likes having the fleece there because it makes his island all wonderful and full of healthy wildlife and beautiful and nice
food.
Place to live.
It gives him food.
It's a nice place to live because he's got the fleece. And it draws all the satyrs to him because the satyrs are all following the magic of the fleece.
Yep. They're like, ooh, nature magic? Must be Pan. Nope, it's a Cyclops.
So it's basically a beacon for all of his favorite food, which is satyrs.
Yep. Sorry, Grover, that's probably how your dad died. Sorry. So they eventually get into this fight for the fleece. They all try to escape, and Annabeth is like, she's invisible, and she's like, I'm nobody, which is the name Odysseus used forever ago, and I'm here to get the fleece, blah, blah, blah. So Polyphemus starts running after this invisible voice.
Yeah, so they all try to get out. Just as they're about to get out of the cave and be safe, he comes back in the cave with
Annabeth, who's like, not doing so great. She was hit on the head a few times. Yeah.
So then Percy pretends that he's nobody.
Yep. He's like, no, I was nobody. This is just a whole I am Spartacus kind of moment, isn't it?
It really is. And somehow they end up fighting. They get out of the cave. They're working on trying to, like, get the fleece and escape. And they get into a fight with Polyphemus, right?
Yeah. It's not great because they're all
tiny.
He beats
the shit out of them.
Yep. He beats the shit out of everybody.
This is when Percy Jackson goes total berserker. He's fighting and he's fighting and all of a sudden something snaps and he just goes bananas and all of a sudden he's like on top of Polyphemus, like ready to like kill him. And he should have.
But then he's like, oh wait, he's a Cyclops. My brother's a Cyclops. And like Polyphemus, like he kind of imagines him as Tyson for a moment. He's like, damn, I can't kill him. So he doesn't. And then Polyphemus tries to kill him. And then guess what?
Tyson's
alive. Tyson was here all along and he saves them.
Remember, Tyson didn't blow up because Tyson is impervious to fire.
Yep. He's also a son of Poseidon, so, like, water is
good for him. In the water. If you got injured in the water, it's gonna heal him.
And he had a fish pony bestie, like, named Rainbow. Love Rainbow. Rainbow's the best.
Rainbow is the big hippocampus that,
is now Tyson's best friend. Mm-hmm. So Tyson fights Polyphemus. The rest of them run off. They get the fleece. They start using it to heal Annabeth and try to get to the boat. But Polyphemus throws a rock at the boat, and now the boat is sinking. So we can't use that.
Oops.
Yikes. But don't they end up just using, like, hippocampuses?
Yes, they yeah. go off on hippocampuses.
And Polyphemus, he thinks he's won. He thinks that he has killed nobody, quote unquote.
Because he thinks they were all on the ship when the ship would sank or whatever.
But nope. Nope. He lost. He lost the fleece.
So the hippocampus is take them to Miami, but can't take them all the way into shore because it's too polluted. The water's too gross. There's too many people around.
Which is fair.
So they have to swim to shore from like outside of the harbor or whatever.
It's fine. So they get to Miami. And then who's there to meet them? After, of course, they send off Clarice and the mm-hmm. fleece because Percy's like, it was your quest. I can't fly, but you can.
And we have to get there right away.
Yeah, so you need to get this to camp so they can be safe. We'll meet you there eventually. So, who's there to meet them right after that? It's Luke. It's like, Luke, the Princess Andromeda. They're yeah. in deep shit.
I mean, they literally put Clarice in a cab, send her to the airport, and they turn around and there's Luke right there.
Yep, immediately.
Puts them both all back on the boat.
Yep, and then Percy tries to, like, goad Luke into fighting him one-on-one, sword fight. Just because, you know, you gotta play to the guy's hubris just a little yeah. bit there.
Play to the guy. Do what you can. Try to stall for time till some solution will present itself.
Till some deus ex machina comes. And then what happens? The party ponies invade.
The party ponies. It's awesome.
Chiron's,
they are party ponies.
Quote-unquote cousins. The rest of the centaurs.
This Pegasi.
Which, once again, that would be pronounced Kentaur, mother.
Huh?
And this is the Kentaur? Centaur would be pronounced Kentaur in Greek.
Well, that makes sense because Celt are actually pronounced Celt, so.
Yeah, and this is how, on Of the Eldest Gods, we started talking about Ken, Barbie and Ken. Ken as a horse, a centaur.
Wow, is he hung like a horse? No, he's anatomically incorrect.
It just happened. I think it's funny. Anyway. Yeah, so the centaurs come, and they're nuts. I love them. They have, like, paintball guns and, like, those hats with the soda so they can just drink their hats.
Sure, it's soda. It's probably beer. They're party guys.
you know what I mean, though.
Yeah.
Like, you
the
know
hat
what I mean,
with the straws kinds. And the cans in it, and they're drinking out of them. Yeah. They're just like, yeah, they like to tailgate and have a good time, and they came out to, they literally just have fun kicking ass on this boat.
I think the party ponies, that's what, like, you and your friends are in the Percy Jackson universe. You're the party pony.
So I get to go kick ass? I like it.
Yeah. And you get to, like, fight with bow and arrows, but, like, the arrow has, like, a punch, a little fist on the end of it instead.
I think that's good, because the punch wasn't like a little fist punch. It was like literally it knocked him over.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good hard punch. They ended up killing some of the henchmen.
Yep. They killed, there were two guys who were like half bear and they killed them like immediately. It was great.
Uh-huh. And then they took Percy Jackson and all his friends back to the party campsite so they could party.
The party campsite?
The party ponies have a campsite. I love it.
I mean,
so their trailers
also
are horse
camp.
Trailers, but they're all decked out like you would deck out your camper to like, you know, glamping or something. I love it.
Well, they also end up taking them back to camp.
Well, they do that
after.
That's
what I was going to get to.
But they do the other one first. I decided to describe it because it's awesome.
Yeah. But the great thing about the centaurs is that they have this, like, magical power to run really, really fast. So they're able to get from Florida to New York
minutes.
Like that. Once again, this is why you would be a centaur, because your favorite power is teleportation.
Yes. Well, I'd also like to be a son of Poseidon or a daughter of Poseidon because I would love to be able to be underwater and breathe and whatnot. All that shit. That'd be great.
Well, he's got a thing with horses, so that's close enough to centaurs. You could just hang with the centaurs.
So I could have a friend that's a centaur. I could hang out in the water. I love that.
Yeah.
Poseidon, claim me, please.
So they get back to camp and, you know, everything is honky-dory. The camp is, like, safe from all the monsters now. Clarice is, like, hailed as a hero. And Chiron... Oh, wait. We forgot to mention that Percy did this whole thing while he was fighting Luke. He called camp.
He did an iris message. That's how Chiron figured out where they were and came to save them.
Yes, because he was, like, tapping into iris messages, right?
He threw a drachma and made a prayer to the gods for an iris message, and then...
So he could call camp just so he could clear Chiron's name. And so when they get back to camp, Chiron's name has been cleared. Tantalus is sent back to Tartarus.
But the best part about Tantalus being sent back to Tartarus is just as he's finally able to get a piece of food food in his hand to put in his mouth. He sent that to Carterus, and now he can't eat or drink again.
I love it so much. It's so perfect.
He thought his punishment was over. Right. He was just there. He's been trying this whole time to get some food or drink, and now done. Over.
He was so close, yet so far. And yeah, now everything is great, but Chiron's like, you know what? I'm back, but like, let's finish those chariot races. Like, I'm here, and there's no monsters that are gonna come into camp. So I'm gonna make sure y'all don't kill each other. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And so Percy, Annabeth, and Tyson are all working on their chariot together because Annabeth is now cured of her racism.
Yeah, well, we find out why she didn't like Tyson, yeah. Which we didn't explain. When she talks to Percy and explains to him, the problem is this. When they were on the run in New York City, they were tricked. As kids, they were tricked by a group of Cyclopses and almost killed by a group of Cyclopses in Brooklyn, was it?
Wherever. They were somewhere. So close. They were very close to camp. They took a wrong turn and then
they ended up nearly killed by
a Cyclops. And
a nest of them, I thought. It was kind of like they got into some kind of...
One of them had just one.
Well, maybe it was just one. But they got tricked anyway and they were captured and they managed to escape. But... So now they don't trust.
I don't think it's a good enough. I think it's like a weird reason for why she hates Cyclops. Like, I feel like that should be more of like a PTSD thing rather than like she's scared of them. But instead,
Tyson's nothing like that.
Anger?
Yeah, because Tyson's nothing like that. I mean, she was really little, so that may be part of it because she's older now. She was little when that happened, so it may have just really created a long standing thing. So, but Tyson is like a baby. We find out that Tyson is basically a baby Cyclops. We're not sure exactly how old he is, but he's a baby.
So one of the things that I do like about the movie is that they change one thing where it's not just like, oh, they took a wrong turn before they got to camp and like they were distracted by a Cyclops and that's why they didn't make it in time. No, in the movie, Thalia is killed by a Cyclops and that's why Annabeth hates them.
That gives her more of a reason too.
I think that is more of a reason for her to hate them. In the book, I think it would make more sense if she was terrified of them. It feels more like a PTSD, like, they nearly killed me and my friends kind of thing.
I don't
want to
be around him because I'm afraid of him. Yeah, I guess.
Instead of like how she's just angry and mad and she doesn't like him. She thinks he's gonna betray them. Like, I don't know. It doesn't quite fit for me, the motivation there.
That's kind of make it kiddified though, so I mean, I guess.
I don't know. I don't like that. I also just don't like the fact that she's like racist to Cyclops. That's just angry.
I mean, in the end, she learns that not everybody's the same.
Yeah, I know.
Tyson is going to be a good guy. He's being raised. He's going to be raised, you know, right.
He's allowed to go to camp. So he knows that demigods are friends, not food.
And he has a brother.
Wait, I need a meme now of like Tyson, the fisher friends, not food.
I think that's a good one.
I need that.
He could be hanging out with his friend the shark, I'm just saying, you know, because it's, you know, underwater and all.
So they make their chariot all together, and then they win the chariot race. Like, I mean, it's a very long chapter, but, like, they win the chariot race. It's just all action. And they're great. Also, wait, Tyson made this really cool shield for Percy from, like, he's been working on this whole quest, and it's, like, a watch that he presses a button, and it becomes a big shield, and it's got pictures of all of their adventures on it, and I love it a lot.
It's wonderful.
Really cool. Tyson, I love him. I want to protect him.
Yeah, he uses it to protect them when they have to do their next battle. Right? Isn't it when they're doing their chariot race and fighting or whatever?
And then we have one more chapter where Tyson leaves camp. He's gonna go and
he gets a letter from his dad, his dad invites him to go.
Something like that.
His dad invites him to go down into the water to
he's gonna go see daddy and make some stuff, and it's gonna be great,
which makes, you know, Percy a little sad and a little jelly
because he doesn't get to go visit dad's house.
He's not invited, sorry. Not you.
But Percy also gets a little bit of a letter from dad where Poseidon sends him like a full written letter that just says, brace yourself, and it is sent by Hermes. Like, why?
He also gives him a dream that says the same thing.
Yeah, just what was the point, Poseidon? Like, I know it's important, but you didn't need to handwrite this.
No, he could have said something more specific. It would have been nice.
He gets the reason why he has to brace himself later that night, I think. at the border, because they're still doing a little bit of border patrol at the moment. Annabeth's on watch because just in case somebody tries to steal the fleece. I love that they've sent out a notice for monsters that they can hire to keep the fleece safe.
Well, there must be some monsters that you know, don't care about anything else, just making money.
I love that. And then somebody's like, I think it's Grover, who comes into his cabin and is like, Annabeth, there's something going on. You gotta come quick. And Percy's like, okay. But Annabeth is not harmed. Annabeth is lying beside this girl who's lying beside the magical tree that surrounds camp, or protects camp's borders. And who's this girl? But Thalia, the girl who died to protect camp. Or protect
That's why
Annabeth.
He's supposed to brace himself. The whole time throughout this story, he's trying to find out exactly what the prophecy is. And basically what the prophecy that is hanging over his head, what he knows of it is that one of the children of the eldest gods, one of the three brothers, one of their kids, is going to have a choice when they turn 16. If they survive to age 16, is going to have a choice that's going to either destroy or save Olympus. And they don't know who it is, but since Percy is currently the only known living son or daughter of any of the big three, they're assuming that it's Percy. But now there are two.
Is the daughter of Zeus.
And at this point, she's close to age. She's still a little older than him, right? But she's got to be close to their age.
She's 15. They explain it in the next book about how her aging works, but she's 15, which means she only has a little bit of while before she reaches the right age. Also, it could only be a demigod, so Tyson was not eligible.
Yeah, it had to be a demigod, so any of the demigods, they're the only ones that they consider to be actual, real,
half
whatever.
Half-blood, technically.
Yeah.
So
we don't know of any others at this time. We just know that these two now exist, so now there's two people who could be part of this prophecy.
Plot twist!
Are there more? I don't know.
Who
Maybe
knows?
You should read the book series to find out.
Yeah, if we haven't already spoiled enough things.
Maybe there's one more. Maybe there's more than one more. We don't know. Not saying.
Maybe there's a bunch more. Who fucking knows?
they do have a tendency to sleep around a bit.
Yeah, it's the gods. Okay, if you haven't listened to this podcast before, this is where we talk about what went wrong in the piece of media that we have been discussing and how we would try to change that.
Monster donuts. Unnecessary.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Out. Take it out. Like, doesn't need it.
It was a cool world building thing. Not important. Sorry to say. Didn't need
it. It was so important that they even took it out of the movie. I mean, they took a lot of shit out of the movie, but they took... That was definitely one.
They put the Hydra that was in the second book and put it in the first movie. That's how important it was.
They had to have the scene where Percy cuts off the heads of the Hydra and makes more Hydra heads, because that's kind of like...
It's iconic.
A lesson to learn.
I get it.
But it's a lesson to learn, but yeah, they completely cut it out of the movie altogether. They didn't have any monster donuts. I'm just sad that they turned donut shops into a scary thing, because I love donuts.
I don't. So I'm fine with it. What else did we say was a gone wrong? We've mentioned a few. I'm trying to remember what we just talked about for the past hour.
Tantalus. Everything about Tantalus is a gone wrong.
Tantalus being brought in. Like, God, he's so creepy.
Who on earth or beyond would want to put Tantalus in her place with kids? It's a punishment for the kids, not for Tantalus.
God, they should have brought somebody in who was better. But like, you know, we didn't want to get
attached to them. Even the bitch
goddess
would be better than that. You know how I feel about her.
We have thoughts about Hera. We'll get there.
She's a
someday.
Bitch goddess. She is.
I mean, what else? Think about Percy's pocket. I already talked enough about Percy and his pockets and how messy that whole thing is.
Yeah, we talked about the pockets. Okay.
The fact that the fleece can just resurrect people. Okay. So I guess Polyphemus does not use the fleece on his eye directly, but maybe being around it is why he can see at all. But also, I think it's a gone wrong that Polyphemus doesn't just, like, put the fleece on his eye and just get perfect vision.
Yeah.
Because I think I feel like he would have done that by now, but maybe he's just really, really dumb.
Well, he is really, really dumb.
I mean, he is, but also...
he is really, really dumb.
It's been a few thousand years. Maybe he would have been able to do that.
Here's my
now.
Question. Does it actually resurrect the dead, or was Thalia actually fully dead? Because okay, she's kept alive in the tree, I thought, as the tree in the...
So she was dying, and
he
Zeus,
turned her into a tree.
He turned her into a tree to preserve her?
Yeah.
I think.
So she's not really dead, so it doesn't necessarily bring back the dead.
I'm confused why she exists separately from the tree now. I feel like the tree should have turned into her, and there wouldn't be a tree anymore.
Well, it's almost like the tree grew out of her, and then she came out of the tree when she was brought back, fully
onto
herself.
It's weird how it happens in the movie, where, she's just, on the ground, and then the tree kind of forms next to her.
Mm.
It's weird. Yeah.
They don't really, I don't think they explain well enough why some creatures, I mean, they do, but they don't, why some creatures can get through the barrier and others can't. And we don't still get all of the bad guys that are at camp out yet.
I think it's described why Tyson can't get in is because he's a baby.
He's too weak.
He's not strong enough to, just get through.
I don't
That's
know.
Why.
It's a good enough explanation, honestly.
I mean, fair enough. Tyson should have just been able to get through.
I mean, a lot of monsters are getting through. We got all the evil birds.
But, they had to have that moment so Annabeth could be like, no, I have to save Percy in this moment. I may hate him for no apparent reason, but I need to bring him into camp to save Percy.
So let's bring Tyson in.
Oh, wait, the whole thing with the clothes, it's Cersei's. That, okay, how would you fix that?
I think his clothes should shrink down with him and, disappear, but, with maybe the contents of his pockets pop out or something like that.
That would be interesting, actually.
Or it was in his bag, whatever bag he had left, and it fell on the floor.
Wait, you know what would be funny? If everything shrunk and, Riptide magically shrank into a little tiny guinea pig-sized pen, and then Percy tried to use it as a guinea pig.
That would be cute. Kind of weird,
so
though.
Cute.
That'd
be
kind of weird, though.
Cute. Yeah.
But I think it would be cool if maybe either the contents of his pockets popped out, or maybe the pills were in his backpack on the floor, and she saw them hanging out of his backpack on the floor.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I think it was unnecessary for the whole clothes are on the floor, magically clothes are back on. Either they don't have clothes. And they're
Which
all
would
just
be hysterical.
Naked. It would be
but
hysterical
not really kid-like.
And awkward. And then Percy could just be hiding behind a sheet or something and be like, Annabeth, can you just grab my pants real quick?
I mean, the other thing it could be to make it more kid-like, maybe their underwear stays on.
That would actually be funny, though, too.
So
that
when
would...
they come back up, envision him standing there in his jockey shorts, and then you've got the pirates all there and whatever underwear pirates wear.
Yep. That would be
loin cloths or God knows what else.
You know what? I think that is a good medium where we get the whole clothes fell off.
But it's kid appropriate.
But it's kid appropriate, yeah.
And kids like underpants, so that would be funny.
Yes. I think that is it. Percy has to be in his underwear as a guinea pig.
As a guinea pig. Well, then she wouldn't have to clean the cage as much because it, catch the
oh,
droppings.
Oh, no, that's so gross. I hate it. Okay.
Okay. So, are we good?
I think that's it. I think we've peaked. Vocally, I peaked there when I laughed, but also we just peaked with that joke. That was great. We did it. We did it, y'all. Okay. Well, if you want to follow this podcast on the social medias, we are at Fandoms Gone Wrong Pod on Instagram and Facebook. We're at Fandom Gone Wrong on Twitter. You can email us at fandomsgonewrongpod@gmail.com. You can find me specifically. I'm at GreenPixie12 most places except for Twitter, where I'm at GreenPixie123. I also have a YouTube. I don't use it very much, but it's at Charlie Mack. That's MACK. All right, Mother, what's your one thing?
Travel Planning by Carrie on Instagram. That's where I post some stuff about trips that I take.
And by the time this comes out,
we'll be back from Disney World by the time this comes out.
Yeah, but she'll have posted some things about our trip, hopefully.
Maybe. We'll see.
If all goes well.
I'm still posting from the cruise I took a month ago, so I'm a little behind in my posting.
I meant if all goes well and our flights work out.
Oh, yeah. Let's hope our flight that we booked for tomorrow that's replacing our JetBlue flight. Let's hope Delta doesn't cancel on us. Unfortunately, I still can't cancel the JetBlue flight that they rescheduled for tomorrow night, which I'm pissed about. Again.
These are our gripes today.
Very stressful day.
But if you do want to go on a vacation, you can book with her. Contact her.
I would love to help you.
Castles, right? Did I get it right?
Yep. It's Coasters and Castles Travel.
Cool.
If you're listening to this, you also ignored the warnings of reading the Percy Jackson books.
Now that the monsters are after you, it'd be a good idea to come to Camp Half-Blood.
But more importantly than that,
you should listen to Of the Eldest Gods, a Rick Riordan read-along podcast.
Join us as we talk about some semi-fucked up history and mythology relating to each chapter.
As we reread the original Percy Jackson series again while trying to stay spoiler-free.
Or so help us, Zeus may curse the pod again.
Episodes out every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me see. What's next? I forgot to get up the schedule.
That's okay. We'll surprise them.
No, I always try to do a thing. Oh, right, we're doing another book. I'm sorry, I forgot. We're going to have to read it while we're on our trip, right?
Another book? What book?
We're reading Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Yay!
Okay, that'll work. I like Harry Potter.
That's something easy that we can read.
I've only read it two or three times, so I'm good. It's a little light reading.
Just a bit
of a few hundred pages more than Percy Jackson.
It'll be fine. That's what we will be doing next. I think that's all we got for you today, folks. We love you, awesome nerds. Goodbye.
Sounds good. Bye.